Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to the Supertone Show. Electric Six, Danger, High Voltage.
That's trouble.
What an opener. Well, you know, one of the reasons why we're playing this record, on top of your high-watt DR-201 from 1974, it's a bass amp, big old valve thing, you know, it's monstrously great. We love high-watt. But on the top, there's a red plaque, and it says, do not tamper inside.
Danger high voltage. It's true.
So that's the first reason. Second reason, it's a bloody good record. It's a great record. And the third reason, it uses a lot of fuzz guitar. And as you know, I'm a big fan of fuzz. The solo's very fuzz, and all the guitars are very fuzz, which for this time period, actually, was quite unusual.
It was from their debut album called Fire.
Of course, what else?
Of course, it was released in 2003. It's still so contemporary.
It sounds great. And there was another single off that album. Was it Gay Bar?
Yes.
That it fills with great.
Did you do a Gay Bar? Yeah, Gay Bar.
Fantastic Brilliant. Records. You know, great lyrics, great fun, great party music. But also, it really, you know, it has a good sound overall. It's a good sound. It's very up-tempo, very great. You know.
Well, they're from Detroit.
Detroit, yeah, Motor City.
And apparently there was a myth that Jack White had done some backing vocals on that track. And I think it was just some jokey comment that got taken seriously.
Right.
So that was one of the myths that propagated for a while. And then they kind of years later said, no, he's not on it. But you see, in the late 90s, they used to play at this place called the Old Miami. Mm. And the Gold Dollar. What a great name, the Gold Dollar in Detroit. And that was the centre of a scene that produced breakout acts like the White Stripes.
Well, there you go.
So it's all about scenes again. Here we go.
Mm. Yeah. And Detroit's always had a great scene. I mean, Motor City, Motown, you know, great, great stuff.
And the lead singer's called Dick Valentine.
What else?
You Know by Jimmy Vaughan, taken from his album Strange Pleasure, which was released in 1994.
Well, all I can say about that is a fat ass swing groove shuffle. What a drummer. What a shuffle. Every time it comes on, my neck is, I look like a pigeon. I'm just going, oh, yeah, this is really good, yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And actually, it's George Raines, the legendary George Raines from Austin. Well, he was originally from Fort Worth, but he was like a legend on the Austin blues scene.
Yeah.
For years, and backed virtually every blues artist in existence because they all came through. He was like in the house band in Antones. Mm. And he's been in Jimmy Vaughan's band for a long time, but my God, what a groove, what a drummer.
That song is fantastic, and you say the groove, it's like it bounces, doesn't it?
Mm. It's got power, but it's restrained, yeah. It's beautiful. It is, you know, it's probably one of the best shuffles I've heard on record. Great.
Well, I didn't realise, I'd never heard of Jimmy Vaughan until you introduced me to him, basically. Well, there's a lot of people I didn't know, you know, because, you know, it's a guitarist, really. But I know he's the brother of Stevie Ray Vaughan, who died.
Yeah.
He was legendary. But Jimmy, let's talk about Jimmy, because, you know...
Everybody talks about Stevie, yeah.
Exactly, everybody. So Jimmy, I did some research, and he's been influenced a lot by the Three Kings, Albert, Freddie and BB.
Mm.
And Johnny Guitar Watson.
Great.
Yeah. So, and apparently since 97, Fender's produced a Jimmy Vaughan Tex-Mex Stratocaster.
They certainly have.
Yeah.
He's known. I mean, he's got a great guitar sound. Very simple, very open, very clean. I mean, that was quite dirty. It sounds like it was a real... He had it on real loud there. It was had a small amp on real loud. That's what it sounded like to me.
Mm.
But it's like breaking up. But it's real, you know, he's got a great vibe about his playing. He doesn't play too much. He's very simple. He's not as flashy as Stevie Ray was.
Yeah.
And, of course, he formed the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Of course.
With Kim Wilson, that's right, early on. And it's one of my favourite Texas blues albums, you're Tough Enough, and T-Bird Rhythm, that's the one that I really love.
Yeah.
Great, you know, great. But I saw them just after they'd done T-Bird Rhythm at the Hacienda in Manchester.
No.
Oh, yes. I did indeed. And they were absolutely ultra ace. They weren't just good. They were ultra ace.
There was blues, the Hacienda.
Yes. The home of... Well, Madonna played there.
Well, I know about Madonna. Mm. But I never would have thought ever. Would put a bet on that there was no way that it would be... I would have said Band on the Wall, not Hacienda.
Well, it was absolutely packed. And it was a great gig, real great. And Kim Wilson is a great harmonica player, fantastic singer. And the band were cooking, absolutely cooking. And this track, you know, it's a great representation of what Jimmy Vaughan's all about. And really his quality and his class. And he's always overshadowed by his brother. It's hardly surprising because he's probably one of the greatest, you know, electric guitar players, blues to ever live, you know.
Mm. He's got his own style though, and I really like it. I'd love to play in a band with him. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
American woman, gonna mess your mind. American woman, gonna mess your mind. Say A, say M, say E, say R, say I, C, say A. American woman, gonna mess your mind. American woman, gonna mess your mind. American woman, gonna mess your mind.
Stay away from me.
American Woman by the Guess Who?
Formerly known as Alan and the Silvertones.
No, it sounds like the Blues Brothers. What were they called? Merv Tones.
Something like that. I can't remember.
I can't remember, but it's something like that. That's amazing.
Yeah, they were. Well, the lead singer's called Chad Allen, but his real name is Alan Cowbell. Seriously, I kid you not. So anyway, it was Alan and the Silvertones, then Chad Allen and the Reflections. We've talked about this before because it's like the Chad, isn't it, from like Forrest Gump.
That's
when
right.
We mentioned it because they've, and then they changed to Chad Allen and the Expressions anyway because some other band had a similar name. Anyway, so yeah, they've changed their names a lot, that band, but the Guess Who is what stuck.
And actually, they got confused with the Who.
That's right, yeah. Because their first hit was 1965, Shaking All Over.
Ah.
That's where it comes from.
Which we opened the show with.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
That's true. Remember, we talked about the Guess Who.
We did indeed, yeah. Well, the beginning of this always reminds, well, I know it is, Bring It On Home, Led Zeppelin, right? If you listen to Bring It On Home, it sounds like he's singing with marbles in his mouth. Not like that. Mm. And even the tone of his voice. And then he sort of mixes it up with a little bit of Gloria by the Them, where it goes, you know, give me an A, you know, give
yeah,
me an
yeah,
M,
yeah,
give
yeah,
me an
yeah,
E.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's that sort of thing. Then it comes in. But all I can think of that song, of course, is the mighty Austin Powers and the Spy That Shagged Me.
Yeah.
Because it's, that's it. And it's a great film. Boy humor. I know you don't do the boy humor thing, but it was a great film at the time. And it still is, you know. I'm sure I watched it again. It's dated quite a bit, but Mike Myers was great in it. But of course, this was in it, and it was a big part of it. And again, it features much fuzz guitar. That solo. Ooh. Beautiful.
I love the guitar sound in that track.
Really beautiful.
It almost feels like it's a synth, you know, because it kind of, I had to listen, and then you can tell it's guitar.
Yeah,
but sometimes it just fuses,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a great guitar sound it's got going on.
Doesn't it make you feel of that? It evokes that era completely, that song, doesn't it?
That's right. And is it right that they did this in quadraphonic or something? Or did they release it in quadraphonic on one of those, you know, the 8-track tape?
Yeah, that's
things?
True. Yeah. A quad mix was available on an 8-track cartridge format.
Yeah, that's right.
How technology has moved along today,
well,
love.
They were really good, those 8-track cartridges in quad. The interesting thing is we were going to buy that that old Kadak board that had a quad mix in it, and it had like a little joystick so you could position each, you know, side in the mix. You know,
like an Atari game or something like a spaceship, didn't
that's
it?
That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
It was really a weird thing because, of course, quad was
console.
Really going to take off. It was a huge console, beautiful, great sounding, the best EQ I've ever heard, actually. Better than Neve, and that's saying something.
So stay by my side when I...
The Seekers and I'll Never Find Another You. What a song.
Incredible song. Incredible. They recorded that completely live, including that 12-string solo and everything. And there was a bit of upright bass player. You know, all the harmonies were done live. There's a great YouTube video. And you got to, and it shows the whole thing of them recording it. And there's all the guys in the control room with the white coats, you know. It was 1964, yeah, this, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So all the white coats on, and you could hear, I mean, there's a lot of distortion on that recording. It's not a fantastically done recording, but my goodness, what a song. They did it all together, and it's a beautiful performance. What a great voice she had, you know.
Do you know, I didn't realise they were Australian because she sings in like a British accent, but they're from Melbourne.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Holy so they were smoke. The first Australian folk-influenced pop music quartet to achieve major chart success, like in the UK and in America. And they've sold over 50 million records worldwide. 50 million. 50
million.
50.
That is a lot of vinyl. That's a lot of spondules for the writer. Who wrote it? Do we know?
Now, I do know. Tom Springfield, brother to Dusty.
Dusty Springfield.
Indeed. He wrote quite a few songs for them.
Well, I bet he's got gold underpants on now. Oh, he did at the time. My God, 50 million of the buggers.
Yeah, it was crazy. I've just found out as well, literally just found out that I just wanted to find out about Judith to double check that she was Australian, you know, because sometimes...
She's the singer.
Yeah, so Judith Durham is the singer, but she was born Judith Mavis Cock.
So we had Electric Six with
Dick
at the beginning.
Valentine, and now to Judith Mavis Cock.
Well...
I've never heard of somebody as... having a surname as Cock.
Well, I've known a few Cocks. They perhaps should have been called anyway.
Just taste good, especially tonight.
You're listening to The Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell of the Starlight Campbell Band.
Indeed. What's and that was British Sea Power waving flags from the album Do You Like Rock Music?
I like the title, actually.
It's a great title. Yeah. Great song. Very, very big. Massive production on it, isn't it? It's like an assault, you know, but it's got a real nice vocal melody thing going on. But what I like about it, it's got tremendous energy. It comes in, it's like an assault, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a soundscape. I need to hear this live, this album. In fact, I just need to hear them live.
Mm.
Because I don't want to hear it recorded, actually. Isn't that funny? That's how I feel having listened to that. It's like, get me in that field now.
Well, Mogwai, I think, are the same. Because Mogwai, you know, great, great band live, and they really, really kick it, you know?
Yeah.
This band, of course, used to be called British Air Power.
Yeah.
So they changed it to British Sea Power.
Yeah, and it was something to do with, they relocated to Brighton, because, again, they wanted to be part of a more active music scene. It's the scene, isn't it? And they got a strong local following because they put on these club Sea Power nights, and I think that's probably, you know, where they kind of changed their name, really. So they called it Club Sea Power, and they hosted it at the Free Butt and Lift Club.
Well, they are Free Butt.
And Lift Clubs, yeah, they're two separate. But so what I found about them, I've not seen them live, and that's why I think I'm talking about the fact that they do like a major improvisation at the end of all their gigs. And like there's a song they play called Rock in A. Sometimes it lasts like 20 minutes.
Mm.
And they're like, they have this foliage and they just kind of, they're climbing up the rigging and stuff. And apparently this guy called Eamon's walking around the audience banging a marching drum. And then there's an 8-foot bear that gets on stage as well. So I'm just thinking, I want to see this, you know. I want to see the bear. I want to be there in the crowd.
An 8-foot bear?
Yeah, called Ursine Ultra, who joins in the performance. I think they collaborate a lot with different kind of artistic things going down. Like they had 1940s fashion shows at this club night and stuff. So they just sort of bring odd and unusual acts together.
That's cool, though, but that's what art's all about, yeah, isn't it? I mean, you've taught me a lot about, you know, art in its sort of more pure form and how actually it is something where you get something that is usual in an unusual situation. Or, yeah, you know.
Well, it's to get a new experience of it for yourself. So you put something familiar in an unfamiliar place so that you look at it in a different way. So you experience it for the first time again.
Mm.
And that, for me, is thought-provoking. That's what I love about art, the way, and I guess they put that, I mean, it's been done to death, really, but the context of a gallery setting, but not necessarily in a formal gallery. But, you know, you put, well, we've been talking about some exhibition ideas that we've had. I don't want to spill the beans on that yet, but we've been talking about sort of art installations that we're going to be working on in the future.
Mm.
But it's all about sort of visually stimulating thought process for yourself to help you kind of figure out stuff that you may want to.
Yeah, and I think this 8-foot bear probably had a lot of significance in the band's psyche,
yeah,
obviously.
Obviously, I mean, if it's a real bear, I'm not going to go up and dance with it or hug it because that's cruel. And also, it
Georgia can hurt fame, me. Simon Smith and his amazing dancing bear, there you are, you see? Wow.
Chicken McNuggets, shut the fuck up. Learn to buck up. Right, shut the fuck up. Hey.
brothers will eat your children and steal your thunder, while heavy torsos that heave and hurl will crunch like nuts in the mouths of squirrels. Now nimble fingers that dance on numbers will eat your children and steal your thunder, while heavy torsos that heave and hurl will crunch like nuts in the mouths of squirrels. Shut the fuck up. No. Smoky spires do more to turn my joy to sadness than somber thoughts of burning planets. Now clever feet that flicker like fire and burn like candles in smoky spires do more to turn my joy to sadness than somber thoughts of burning planets.
Shut the fuck!
All right.
And surprisingly enough, Nugget, it's actually called.
What a song. I love that song.
Well, Cake is one of those bands from Sacramento in California. John McRae, the singer and a guitar player. And I love that guitar sound. It is so trashy. He's got this old big body. I don't even know what it is. Some big body, like semi, well, it's really almost acoustic. And it sounds so, it's almost horrible, but it's super cool. And in every track, they've got this mariachi trumpet virtually all the way through, which I know it drives you insane. It always makes you laugh.
It does, but the thing is, I actually really like it in this track. That's the thing. I really like it.
Yeah, it sort of works. And the groove is such a fantastic groove. The lyrics are so direct. I mean, the actual album when it came out, Fashion Nugget, which is what the album's called, on Capricorn Records, it had a parent advisory sticker.
That's right, yeah.
And how I know about Cake is I was actually kicking around in LA, right?
No way.
Yes, I was. And I went into this record store because I was looking for some stuff. And I Will Survive off this record was on. And the lyrics are changed to include much profanity.
Yeah.
In there. And it was a brilliant version. I said, who is this? And they said, it's Cake. So I bought the album. And subsequently, I bought every album. I bought about four or five albums. I think I've got more of these albums than I have virtually anybody else. It's crazy, you know?
I mean, their first album was called Motorcade of Generosity.
That's right.
What a brilliant title.
It's a great album. That is really good as well.
Yeah. I like them, though. And do you know what? I wouldn't have liked them before I met you.
Is that right?
Yeah, I know that for a fact. No, I don't think I would. But I think now that I'm playing bass and my musical, what I like musically is changed. It's evolving. I actually think it's brilliant.
Yeah, because I think also it's been recorded pretty much live.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a few little glitches in there and stuff. But I think the vocal and that syncopation he's got, you know. Shut the f... Shut the f... up. You know, great groove, you know. Great groove.
Thank you.
Love by John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Now, talk to me about John Mayall.
What do you want to know? He's a keyboard player.
What was going on with John Mayall?
Well, hugely influential. I think he was like a prodigy from Alexis Corner, I think. Because Alexis Corner really started the British blues thing. The Rolling Stones and all those people were hanging out with him. John Mayall came on the scene. But he had the ability to get the best musicians that were kicking around to come and work with him.
Yeah.
And all throughout his career, he's had amazing guitar players working with him and amazing rhythm sections, you know. And here, with, you know, John Mayall's Blue Breakers, with Eric Clapton, this was really the start, I would say, properly, of the British blues explosion, with guitar-led, British guitar-led tracks, you know?
Mm.
And this album spawned a million bands. Well, not a million, but...
Yeah.
Probably did, actually, probably a million bands. But, you know, his tone, Clapton's guitar tone, he used this Marshall 50 combo blues breaker thing. That was his big thing. And I think that John Mayall wanted to try and capture his guitar playing, because he was such a revolutionary player, and they wanted to do it live. And they ended up going to Decca Studios rather than doing it in a live venue. And it was produced, of course, by
Mike Vernon.
Again, Mike Vernon is at the heart of this. And, you know, it's a great sound. It's exciting even now. When it picks up in the middle, you know, that, you know, when it picks up into double speed, it's just a great thing. It trucks along. Marvellous.
I just find it quite intriguing, really. It's just like I was reading about it, and there was an ever-evolving lineup with John Mayall, and he had over like 100 different combinations of musicians performing at one point or another. Just going, but it's like it really does epitomise this kind of collaboration thing where music is a family and different people jamming and playing with each other and bringing different things to the table. Because I think what I've started to realise is when I play with different drummers, it's a different band. So the makeup and the personalities bring to the table their own style, their own flavour, their own sound. And then so you have a combination where there's like great chemistry. And then another combination could be great chemistry, but just different chemistry.
Mm. And then sometimes it doesn't work at all.
Yeah. It's very odd.
Because you can actually get a great drummer. And I've worked with great drummers, but I just haven't got it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're obviously great because I've heard them before and they've played with some wonderful people. And then, you know, you work with them and it just doesn't happen. There's just not that magic there.
The mojo bit.
And I think, you know, with bass players and drummers, that's the big thing, isn't it? You know, because the rhythm section is the, you know, the engine of the band. Mm. And, you know, the guitar and the keyboards and vocals just sort of float on top, but they rely on that groove. And I've always said, you know, in a band, that the only way you can tell it's great is that if everybody else stops playing, except from the drums, the bass and the singer, right? If everybody else starts playing, it should still sound great.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, and if you listen to virtually every band that have been hugely successful, every great band, they've always had monster rhythm sections, and part of their sound is sometimes where everything drops out, except the bass and drums and vocals. Led Zeppelin, you know, there's so many, The Who, there's so many bands where that happens, you know.
Mm. So this one, really, this album is where it all comes together, the Beano album. And I heard that the reason why Eric Clapton was reading the Beano is he didn't want to cooperate with the photographer.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was being a bit cantankerous, I think. It's like,
well, he always has. He's got a reputation for that, hasn't he? But, you know, there's no doubt about it. He changed the way that, you know, guitar was played, volume-wise and everything, because he played far louder. You know, I personally, as we know, if you listen to the shows before, you know, you'll know that I prefer Peter Green, tell you the truth. I think he's more sensitive. I think he's a more rounded player. But Clapton had that fire, and he had something about him that really made the British blues scene. And John Mayall was central to that. And Mike Vernon, in actual fact.
This is really a fun game. If you can't be with the one you love, honey,
She's a girl and you're a boy. Now get it together and make it nice. Ain't gonna need any more advice. And there's a rose in the fisted glove, and the eagle flies alongside the dove. He does, and if you came in with the one you love, honey, love the one you with. Oh yes, love the one you with. Love the one you with. Love the one you with.
Stephen Stills, Love the One You're With, the demo version.
Mm.
Before he recorded it on his first solo album, is that right?
That's right. We're just working that out.
And it's a lot of confusion with these boys because they were everywhere, weren't they? Because Stephen Stills has played with so many people.
Yeah.
And the backing vocals on the actual track that was recorded, because it's the demo, of course, was basically Crosby, Stills.
There's Crosby and David Crosby and Graham Nash on background backing vocals with Rita Coolidge, Priscilla Jones, John Sebastian. I love this though. Calvin Fuzzy Samuels on bass.
And John Sebastian, wow.
Yeah. And Jeff Whitaker on congas.
Right.
That was on the actual recording.
Get your congas
out. So this one was just him in the demo.
Mm.
But what a great song. And it's all taken from the fact that Billy Preston used to say this all the time, like, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. And he went, man, do you mind if I nick that?
No. For a song?
And he said, yeah, go ahead, straight away, apparently. Fill your boots, as Billy they say Preston, up north.
The man who saved Let It Be by the Beatles, because he acted as a mediator in that album.
Cool guy, like him.
Because, of course, George Martin wasn't involved in that album. Mm.
Of course not.
No. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah. I think it's the time for the end of the show.
No.
Do you know, it's gone so quick yet again.
It has. I've got some great music this week.
Yeah, so if you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Instagram. We're on Instagram as Starlight Campbell. Twitter is at Susie and Simon. That's S-U-Z-Y and Simon. And, of course, Facebook.
And the show's available on Mixcloud, Spotify, iTunes and iHeartRadio in America. So please tell your friends.
Yay. And we're going to play out with the great, I love the name of this band, Wolf Mother.
Yeah. I saw him in Leeds, you know.
No.
Yeah, I saw them at Leeds, and they were on in mid-afternoon, and they were absolutely ace. Fantastic. Rocked the shit out of the whole venue. And after that, bought the album. The first album is fantastic. And then the second album, I think he fired all the rest of his band or something happened anyway, and he got a bass player, and it never was the same. The second album wasn't as good, and I don't know what happened to him since, but that first, you know, that first album really got me. He was using vintage amps. He's Australian. He had the look. He had the feel, passion, attitude. Great.
So this song's from their debut album, which was released in 2005. And listen out for some reference to the lyrics of All Along the Watchtower.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Joker and the Thief. That's what it's called. See you next week. We'll be right back.
said, I'll tell you all the story about the joker and the thief, I said, I'll tell you all about the joker and the thief.